we have been sharing these days on this matter of the family. At the outset, we find out that family is a divine concept. God originates the family, and it is for the purpose of fulfilling His will. At the fall of man, something happened to the family. Instead of a God-centered family, it becomes a self-centered family. There is separation in the family. Even though not outwardly, but inwardly, it has happened. There is a lack of love, and also there is the violation of God's divine order in the family. But we also find out that when God begins to redeem us, He has the family in His plan. If we believe in the Lord Jesus, we shall be saved, and our household. And of course, in order to have a Christian family, it has to begin with this matter of mating. Find the right partner. Now this morning we would like to continue on with the relationship between the husband and the wife in the family. So let's read a few passages from the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 5, 以弗所第五章22节到33节。 Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, as to the Lord. For a husband is head of the wife, as also the Christ is head of the assembly. He is Savior of the body. But even as the assembly is subjected to the Christ, so also wives to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your own wives, even as the Christ also loved the assembly, and has delivered Himself up for it, in order that He might sanctify it, purifying it by the washing of water by the word, that He might present the assembly to Himself glorious, having no spot or wrinkle or any of such things, but that it might be holy and blameless. So ought men also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loves his own wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as also the Christ the assembly. For we are members of his body, we are of his flesh and of his bones. Because of this, a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be united to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This mystery is great, but I speak as to Christ and as to the assembly. But ye also, every one of you, let each so love his own wife as himself, and as to the wife I speak, that she may fear, that is reverence, the husband. Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. 哥罗西第三章18节19节。 Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And the last place is found in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. 彼得前书第三章第一节到第七节。 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 7. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, that even if any are disobedient to the word, they may be gained without the word by the conversation, that is, the conduct, manner of life, of the wise, having witnessed your pure conversation carried out in fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward one of tressing of hair, and wearing gold, or putting on apparel, but the hidden man of the heart, in the incorruptible ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. For thus also the holy women, who have hoped in God heretofore, adorn themselves, being subject to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose children ye have become, doing good, and not fearing with any kind of consternation. Ye husbands likewise, dwell with them according to knowledge, as with a weaker even the female vessel, giving them honor, as also fellow heirs of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Of course, in the family, the basic elements of a family are the husband and the wife. God brings a man and a woman together that they may be one. So far as their life is concerned, they share the same life. Not only the physical life, we receive the same life from our forefathers, human life, but even our spiritual life is the same, because we suppose now that both the husband and the wife are the Lord's. Therefore, the Bible says, the husband and the wife are fellow heirs of the grace of life. So far as life is concerned, they are fellow heirs. They are partners. They are equals. There is nothing in the Bible that tells us the man or the woman has to be more spiritual than the other party. So far as spiritual life is concerned, the man and the woman, the husband and the wife, are equals. But for the sake of the smooth, efficient working of the family, God does set in the family the husband as the head and the wife as the body of the family. And this morning we would like to look at this matter from three different angles. Number one, the position and responsibility of the husband and the position and responsibility of the wife in the family. And number two, how should one be a husband in the family? And how should one be wife in the family according to the Word of God? And number three, probably if there is time, we'll mention something of how should the husband and the wife adjust to each other. First of all, the relationship between the husband and the wife in the matter of position and responsibility. We already have mentioned that so far as life is concerned, the husband and the wife are equal. But when you come to this matter of the operation of the family, God does set an order in the family. It has nothing to do of inequality. It is for the sake of efficiency. God sets the husband as the head of the family. And of course, with the head, there is certain responsibilities involved. And God sets the wife as the body of the family. And as the body of the family, she has certain responsibility to take care of. And the working together of the husband and wife will build that family up beautifully before God. When we come to this matter of order, I think we have to go back to the very basic principle of divine order. Now, you just cannot try to set up the order in the family, beginning with the husband and with wife. In other words, if you try to tell the wife, now wife, you must submit to your own husband. Probably the wife said, he is not more spiritual than I am. Why should I submit myself to him? Or if you say to the husband and son, now husband, be the head of the family. But the husband may say, well, that's too much responsibility. You cannot begin to set up the divine order with the husband and the wife. No, you won't be able to do it, and you won't succeed in it. If the family order is to be set up, to be established, we have to go back to the very basic, the beginning of divine order. And this is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Paul said, for I wish you to know. I wish you all to know one thing. That is, Christ is the head of every man. Man is the head of woman, and God is the head of Christ. In other words, we have to go back to the very beginning of divine order. It begins with God, the head of Christ. Now, unless you see this, it is very difficult to have the order in the family established. Here you'll find, in the divine order, the first step is God is the head of Christ. Now, we know in Philippians chapter 2, the Son and the Father are one. And it is not something for the Son to grasp that equality, for that equality, because he is equal with the Father. He and the Father share everything. He and the Father share the same life, the same spirit, the same purpose. In everything, they are equal and they are one. But for the sake of the eternal purpose of God, for the sake of the plan of God, for the sake of God's work, the Son willingly, voluntarily, out of love, not out of compulsion, not because he was commanded to do that, but you find the Son, out of his love for the Father, he willingly and voluntarily emptied himself. Emptied himself of the glory and the honor and the power and the position he had with the Father. Not of deity, of course. But he willingly, out of love, emptied himself of all these positions and glory. He took the form of a slave. and being in the form of a man, he humbled himself and was obedient to the Father, even unto death, and that the death of the cross. In other words, so far as life is concerned, the Father and the Son are one and equal. But here you find the Son, out of love, willingly took a lower position. When Christ was on earth, he took the position of the body. He honored his Father as the head in all things. If you read the Gospel according to John, you'll find our Lord Jesus again and again stated, the Son can do nothing by himself. He said, I can say nothing. Whatever I say, because I've heard the Father has said it. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does what he has seen the Father is doing. In other words, in the whole life of our Lord Jesus, you find he honored his Father as the head. He never lift up his head and try to act on his own. He willingly submitted himself to the Father as the head. He held fast the Father as the head. When he was tempted by Satan, you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, turn the stone into bread. You are able to do that, and you are hungry. But the Lord said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In other words, it is the Father, the head. Unless the Father decides that I should turn the stone into bread, I will not do it. I would rather be hungry. I will not do it. And his whole life was marked by this one thing. He was obedient to the Father. He held fast the Father as the head. And what he was to the Father, he was the body to the Father. You remember in Psalms chapter 4, in Psalms 40, it is said, sacrifices, burnt offerings, oblations, you do not want. But behold, you have prepared me a body. Lo, I come to do your will. The Father is the head. The Son is the body. And here you'll find the Son offered himself completely to do the will of the Father as a body to the Father. What an order it is. Here you'll find there is a perfect order between God and Christ. And because of that, he not only sets an example for us, but he becomes the very source of our keeping the divine order. He becomes the source of the power by which we also can enter into the order that God has set. Then the second step. Christ is the head of every man. Now the word man there is not the same word to distinguish the male from the female. The man there means mankind. In other words, Christ is the head of all mankind, of all men, including males and females. Now this is the second step. First, we must see that God is the head of Christ. Then, secondly, we need to enter into the reality of Christ being the head of all men. Now isn't that true? Every believer must see this. When you believe in the Lord Jesus, you receive Him as your personal Savior, and thank God, you are saved. But that is only part of it. If you believe in the Lord Jesus, you must not only receive Him as your Savior, that you may be saved. You must accept Him as your Lord. He is not only your Savior, He is also your Lord. Now, what is the meaning of receiving Him as your Lord? To put it in another way, it simply means you receive Him as your head. Before you believe in the Lord Jesus, you are your own head. Why? Because you do things according to your own pleasure. But after you have been saved, you have been redeemed, you are not your own anymore. Now, how should you live on this earth? There is only one thing, one way you can live, and that is you need to surrender your life to the Lord and say, "Now, Lord, from now on, you are the head, and I am to be the body." In other words, I'm here to do your will. Whatever you say, it shall be done. It is up to you. You are my head. Now, brothers and sisters, have we all come to this place yet? We have believed in the Lord Jesus as our Savior, but have we yet accepted the Lord Jesus as head of every man? Is it true that Christ is your head? Are you making plan? Are you planning? Are you scheming, as our sisters say? Or are you desiring, trying to do things just to please yourself? Or is it that in all things you hold fast Christ as your head? Lord, not my will, but your will be done. What do you want with me? I'm here for your pleasure. I'm here to do your will. That's what I'm here for. I'm the body. You are the head. And brothers and sisters, this should be true with every believer, including men and women. Christ is the head of all men. You know the reason why? The order in the family cannot be established is, number one, we do not see the vision of Christ. How Christ takes God as His head. Number two, because even though we are saved, we have not yet surrendered our life to Christ as the head of our lives. It is no use trying to say, husband be head of the family, wife be body of the family, if people do not see it all begins with a relationship between Christ and God. Because that is the power. That is where the supply of power is. Unless both the man and the woman have surrendered their lives to the Lord and let the Lord be head of each one of them, there is no way to set up the order in the family. The reason why the divine order in the family is not set up is either because the husband and the wife, or both of them, or one of them, do not take Christ as his or her head. Number two, they do not see that God is the head of Christ. So, dear brothers and sisters, for the order in the family to be set up, we need to see that as Christ takes God as the head, so Christ must be head over all men, both the husband and the wife. And it is only when both the husband and the wife have taken Christ as the head, then by His grace, by His power, the husband can be head of the family and the wife can be body of the family. It is not difficult for the order in the family to be established. If both the husband and the wife really take Christ as their heads. The husband does not want to do things according to his will, trying to impose himself upon his wife. But the husband holds fast ahead. Lord, what is your will for the family? I'm just carrying out what you want. And the wife, the same thing. The wife looked to the Lord and said, Lord, what do you want me to do in the family? It is for you. It is for you. Brothers and sisters, for the order in the family to be established, it has to come in this way. God sets up the husband as head of the family. Now, to be head of the family is not just a matter of you sit high up and give command. No. To be head of the family is a great responsibility. At least in three areas, the husband, as the head of the family, has to take responsibility of. Number one, in the area of finance, the husband, as the head of the family, should support the family. When God said to Adam, from now on you have to toil, you have to sweat in order to make a living. When God said that to Adam, he was not saying to Adam alone. He was saying to Adam in relation to his family. Adam was to toil and to sweat in order to earn a living for himself and for his family, to take care of his wife and his children. The husband, as the head of the family, is responsible for supporting the family. Today, in this country, we find both the husband, many husbands and wives, they both work. I agree that there are exceptions. But so far as God's way is concerned, the responsibility of supporting the family rests upon the husband. If the husband cannot support the family, it is very difficult for him to be the head of the family. Of course, there are legitimate reasons for husbands and wives to work in order to support the family. But dear brothers and sisters, I wonder, if one reason why modern families, you find both the husband and wife have to work, is because they want to match up with somebody else. In other words, if our lifestyle is simpler, I do believe that Christians should live a much simpler life. A simple life is conducive to our spiritual growth. Today, life has become so complicated. We have to raise our standard of living. We have to compete with our neighbors. And because of that, you find the husband alone cannot support the family. If we live simpler, it may be possible. But because we do not live simply, therefore, you'll find it requires both the husband and the wife to work in order to support the family. And the result is, the wife has a full-time job already in the family.
and the family suffers because of that. Now, I do not say that there are not exceptions. There are exceptions. Sometimes the husband just does not earn enough to support the family, even if they should live a very simple life. And of course, the wife has to help. But so far as God's way is concerned, you'll find as head of the family, the husband is supposed to take responsibility in supporting his household. So the wife can devote herself to raising up the children. And that is a most important work. Number two. The husband, as the head of the family, is responsible for policy decision. In other words, so far as the government of the family is concerned, it rests upon the husband. The lifestyle of the family, the direction the family will go. In these important policy decisions that have something to do with the family, the responsibility rests upon the husband. Now, it does not mean that the husband can make the decision without consulting his wife, because they are partners. The husband should not just go ahead and make a decision and tell his wife to do it. That will be too despotic. But here you'll find the husband should consult his wife. They should share and talk about the thing, but a final decision rests with the husband. The wife is to carry out the decision, but the decision rests upon the husband as the head of the family. Number three. If you read the Old Testament, you'll find the father of the family was usually the priest of the household. Think of Job. Even after his children were married, they had their own family. Whenever his children were feasting, you know, he would gather them and he would sacrifice to God. Look at Abraham and so forth. So spiritually, the husband, as the head of family, is responsible for the spiritual welfare of the family. Now, today, lots of husbands are not doing that. They leave that to the wives. Thank God for these faithful wives. But the husband is supposed to lead in spiritual matters in the family. So as husband, you'll find at least on these three sides, he is responsible for it. He is to take the lead as the head of the family. And of course, when you come to the wives, as the body, the wives plays a supporting role in the family. The husband plays the leading role, but the wife plays a supporting role. So you'll find her responsibilities are also along these three lines. So far as finance is concerned, she may not be required to support the family, but most likely she is the one who manages the finance. She is really the one who uses the money. And if you should use the money wisely, it will be such a building up of the family. You know, sometimes in modern society, some husband has to take two jobs, and I know of some take three jobs. And some even go into illegal ways of getting money. Why? Because their wives has such desires and ambitions. Whether the wives are spendthrift or thrifty, wasteful or frugal, it affects the family very much. Very much. The wife is to manage the finances, to use the money wisely for the necessities of the family. And brothers and sisters, if you read Proverbs chapter 31 concerning that virtuous woman, that wife, you will find in that chapter, oh, how the wife is diligent, how the wife makes good use of the money and makes profits of it, and so the whole family has no need, you know. And here you'll find, as the body of the family, she is to use the money that has come in wisely for the family. That's the wife. And number two, so far as the management of the family is concerned, it rests upon the wife. The husband may make a decision on certain policies, but it is the wife who carries them out. In the daily affairs, in buying food, in dressing the children, and so on and so forth, in the thousand and one things in the family, you'll find it is the wife who really manages the family. She is really the manager in the family. She carries out the policies that had been laid down as to the direction of the family. And number three, of course, in the spiritual line, she is to help the husband in bringing the family, the children, in the admonition and the discipline of the Lord. When the husband is away, then she has to step in. You know, and of course, in practical areas, there are many things we can say, but I just mentioned these principles. So here you'll find in the family, the relationship of the husband and wife, you can see the husband as the head, he has certain responsibilities, and the wife as the body, she has certain responsibilities. And they work together for the building up of the family. Now we move on to the next thing. How to be a husband and how to be a wife in the family. Once our dear brother Watchman Nee said, if anyone wants to be a nurse, she has to go through certain years of schooling. If anyone wants to be an engineer, he has to go through certain years of training. Or if you want to be a doctor, you have to go through many years of study and practical training. In other words, every job requires training. If you are not trained, you are not able to take the job and do it well. He said it is strange. In the matter of the husband and wife, it seems as if as soon as a man and a woman have reached the age and they are married, then automatically the man knows how to be a husband and the woman knows how to be a wife. You don't need any training. You don't need to learn anything. Automatically, because you are in that position, so you know how to be a husband, and you know how to be a wife. He said, no wonder. He said, if a husband and a wife should really set their mind in learning how, after 5 years, they may be successful. Well, I think he just wants to impress upon people that we just cannot take things for granted. For granted. This is the most important job of your life. And yet you are practically without training, without preparation. Oh, how the husband and the wives need to be before the Lord about it. And if we are before the Lord about it, by His mercy and grace, we may be successful in His eyes. You find in the Bible there are teachings, instructions on how to be a husband and how to be a wife. We often consider the letter to the Ephesians and the letter to the Colossians as two of the most spiritual books in the Bible. Why? Because the letter to the Ephesians speaks of the church as the body of Christ. And the letter to the Colossians speaks of Christ as the head of the church, the body. These two letters reach the summit, as it were, of spiritual revelation. And yet, in these two highly spiritual letters, we find instructions on how to be husband and how to be wife. Very down to earth. Spirituality is not something floating in the air. Spirituality has to be manifested in practical living. So here you'll find in these two letters, and of course, 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter speaks of the kingdom. The whole theme of 1 Peter is the kingdom. And yet you find in 1 Peter, he touches upon this matter of the husband and the wife too. So in these three places, we find the scripture instructs us, teaches us how to be husband and how to be wife. Now let me mention one thing. I do not know why. In all these places, three places, it seems as if God instructs the wife first and then instructs the husband. I ponder upon it. So far as God's order is concerned, the husband is the head. The wife is the body. Adam was created first and Eve came later. But why is it when it comes to instructing how to be a husband, how to be a wife, the order seems to reverse? Every place, all these three places. First wives, and then husbands. Well, it came to me. Probably, the wives influence the husbands more than the husbands influence the wives. I wonder if that is true. In the Garden of Eden, that's the first instance. It wasn't Adam who influenced Eve. It was Eve who influenced Oh, oftentimes, you know, for the sake of harmony in the family, the husband just go along with the wives. And probably it is for this reason you'll find the first instruction is for the wives. In other words, if you have the right wives, it is easy to get the right husband. I don't know. I just threw it out. You can think about it. Alright, in these three different places, you'll find God's teaching concerning the wives. How to be wife in the family. In all three places you'll find, God emphasizes just one point. Just one thing, above all. And that is, in Ephesians, wives, submit to your own husband as unto the Lord. In Colossians, Wives, be subject to your own husband, for it is fitting in the Lord. In 1 Peter, wives, be subject to your husband, even if your husband is not the Lord. In other words, the teaching of the Bible concerning how to be a wife is this matter of submission or subjection. That's the whole point. The Bible does not say, wives, love your husband. It seems as if it is very natural for wives to love their husbands, even though it is natural love. But for wives to be submissive, to be subjected to the husband, demands a divine love. Wives, you have the natural love in you. But in that natural love, there is no submission there. To show that you really love your husband, you need the love of Christ in you. Because only in the love of Christ, there is that element of submission there. It is submission out of love. Not out of command. Not out of compulsion. Not out of force. But as Christ submits himself to the Father, to God, so the wives willingly, voluntarily, out of her own will, because of her love to Christ and to husband, she submits herself to her husband. She tries to adapt herself to her husband. She tries to complete and perfect her husband. She gives up her own desire. She submits to her husband in love. You know, submission in the scripture is more a matter of heart attitude or mental attitude. It is more an attitude. There is a heart attitude, an inward attitude of submission. Why I submit? Because of the love of Christ. As a wife submits to her husband, she is submitting unto the Lord. In other words, unless you can see the Lord, you cannot submit. Many wives will say, why should I submit to my husband? Why? Well, if you see the Lord. If you see the Lord as Christ submits himself to God, you submit yourself to your husband as unto the Lord. You take the Lord as your standard, as your example. And you allow the life of Christ within you to constrain you in love. And brothers and sisters, that is the only way to submit. You know, in a non-Christian family, even in the natural, you know, people do have this kind of concept. Wives should submit to the husband, you know. But that is only moral. But when you come to a Christian family, it is more than a moral thing, it is a spiritual thing. A spiritual thing. For the wife to submit to her husband, it is a spiritual thing. Why? Because she is submitting as unto the Lord. She sees the Lord. And she is motivated, and she is supplied by the love of Christ within her. It's different. It's different. She is not to try to win her husband's heart by tracing of hair, by wearing of jewels, or rich apparel. In other words, in this world, women try to attract their husbands and try to hold their husbands by these outward things. They think by doing these things, they can win their husband's heart. But no. For a Christian wife to win her husband's heart, it is the beauty of the inward man. Beauty of the inward man. So to the wives, God has one thing to ask, and that is submit. In love, as unto the Lord, it is fitting in the Lord. Now to the husband. Again, you find in three different places. What God emphasizes for the husband is also only one thing. Love. Love. It seems as if it is easy for the husband to submit to their wives. So, the Bible says, love your own wives. As Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. And here again we find the love is not natural love. It's not natural love. The word love is agape. It is that absolute love, that love of Christ. Oh, unless a husband really submits himself to Christ and let the love of Christ fill his heart, he cannot love his wife as Christ loved the church. So again you'll find the standard is Christ and the supply of the power of love is also Christ. It is a spiritual thing. Spiritual thing. The husband is not to demand all the time. The husband is to give as Christ gave himself for the church. If the husband will learn to love, and the wife will learn to submit, the husband does not need to tell the wife to submit, nor the wife needs to tell the husband to love. In other words, take the word of God for your own self, and don't try to take it for the other party. Now, if both the husband and the wife will take the word of God to heart concerning his or her own self, and do not wait for the other to begin, but try to begin yourself, you find there will be no problem. No problem. So here you'll find what the word said is, husbands, love your wives. And negatively, God adds one more point. Do not be bitter towards them. Now, what does that mean? It means this. Sometimes the husband can demand so much. They treat their wives as slaves. And because their wives do not meet all their demands, they are unhappy and even bitter. Husbands should be more considerate because the wives are a weaker vessel, in a sense, constitutionally built up, they are different. They are different. So, husband needs to love and to be more considerate concerning their wives. Now, these are the instructions in the scripture. Now, finally, I don't think we have time to go into the third point, and that is how the husband and the wife should adjust to each other. Now, remember, for two grown-up people, having years of backgrounds, habits are rather fixed, and having two independent wills, for two grown-up to merge together into one is not an easy thing. There needs lots of adjustment, lots of adjustment. Well, just let me sum up by saying this. The family is not a reformatory. It is a melting pot. Now, do not think the husband is going out, well, I marry a wife and I'm going to reform her and to fit her to me. That's treating the family as a reformatory. And maybe the wife has the same idea. I will reform him. No, the family is not a reformatory. It is a melting pot. Now, how can you be melt together? You both have to be melt first. You have to give up yourself first. Not try to go out and reform the others. You know, lots of problems come from that. But be melt to yourself. Both need to be melted. Both need to deny yourself. And then you can be merged into one. Secondly, the family is not a cult. It is a school. It is not a place for arguing who is right and who is wrong, as in the court. No, that's not a family. A family is a school for both the man and the woman to learn. Lots of lessons to learn. There is no place where you can learn more practical lessons and spiritual lessons than in your own. That's where those singles miss lots of lessons. Now, number three. The family is not a battlefield. It is a workshop. You do not try to stand in opposite positions and battle each other. No. It is a workshop. You work together to have a work done, to have the work of God done. That is a family. So, because of that, you find there are lots of adjustments that need to be made and lots of practical things we have to think about. I think we'll just stop here because it would be just too much. Our Heavenly Father, how we praise and thank Thee because Thy life in us is real, is practical, is down to earth. O Lord, how we praise and thank Thee. Without Thee, we can do nothing. Not even know how to be a husband or how to be a wife. But with Thee, all things are possible. Oh, we do cast ourselves upon Thee and pray that by Thy grace, because of Thy life in our families, there might be the divine order set up. There might be that love and that submission that Thyself may be glorified in all our families. And I